Want to greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I've heard a lot about your congregation, but I've never been here before. And I'm excited to be here this morning. Excited to see what God has for us. I've been so blessed this morning in listening and sensing your heart here this morning and your desire to know the truth. That's a blessing. We're from different congregations, but we have the same God. We're going for the same purpose. And I just want to bless you as a congregation here this morning. I don't know a whole lot of you. I know your faces, but I can't put names to it. But I just want to bless you this morning. I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Timothy 3. I shared two messages at home, and I tried to, incorporate those two messages into one, because just the one message by itself ends up being kind of negative, and I didn't want to end on a negative note this morning. Excuse me for a minute. I've titled my message this morning, Moldy Bread Decisions. Last night we were sitting in our living room and having our family devotions, and I asked the family, I said, I need help putting together a title for my message. And my daughter came up with the idea. She said, why don't you just say things I studied about and stuff? That's not our title this morning, but I've titled my message this morning, Moldy Bread Decisions. And when I shared about the moldy bread decisions the last time at in our congregation, I had a loaf of bread here that I had painted up, it actually looked a bit moldy. I don't have that with me this morning. But moldy bread decisions. I want us to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look, I'd like for the first part of our message this morning to be a bit of a warning. Are you okay with a bit of a warning this morning? I'd like for it to be a bit of a warning, but I'd like to end up in some of the things that we already talked about this morning, about the truth and about sharing the gospel. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, we're just going to read a couple verses here. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, means no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, which means reckless, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Here we have Paul talking to Timothy, and he's given him a warning. He says, in the last days, there's going to be perilous times. Are we in the last days this morning? I believe we are, because after Jesus, after the resurrection, that was considered the last days. When he left, he went back home again, and he sent the Holy Spirit. I believe that is the last days, and I think we are in the last of the last days, is the way I'm looking at it. I remember when I was a young boy, back in 1976, we were walking to school, and my buddy and I were walking along, and we began talking about the happenings of the country at that time. We got to talking about Russia. We got to talking about the Iron Curtain, and I still remember our conversation turning towards Jesus is coming back soon. Things seemed to all be coming together. That was 1976. Today's 2019. He's still not here. We're still in the end times. There's still things happening. He is coming back. That's a certainty. He talks here about all the different things that are going to be happening in the times, close to the end times. And we see all of these taking place today. Then in verse 5, he talks about a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's a power there that we have as believers. If we have the Holy Spirit living within us, that I think sometimes we're not tapping into. We have a form, but there's a power that we're denying. I was blessed this morning with what I sensed here. There was a sense of learning, a sense of desire to know the Father, to know more. And I bless you for that. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now again, we have Paul here giving Timothy some words of advice. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. There's going to be a judgment at the appearing of his kingdom. Let's start over again. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Paul, be instant in season. Be out of season. Preach, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Then verse 3 and 4. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to listen to it. But after their own lusts, they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's as far as we're going to go there. But thinking about the idea, they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to hear what's good, what's easy. Where do I fit in this whole picture? I have on my phone, I have this little app that allows me to download messages that I can listen to. I drive 45 minutes to work and back. Many times I turn on a message and I listen to a message on this little app that I have. It's a very common thing for people to do today. But I want to, use the word warn, encourage you this morning. If you use those things, be very careful. See, Satan comes and it looks good. We listen to the message and there's so much good in them. But there's a little bit of deceit that comes through. And Satan has a way of trying to get us to pick that up. And I'm saddened today when I look and I see the many of our people. They would a whole lot rather listen to some of that than their own preachers at home, because it's satisfying their ears. I'm not saying you can't listen to something like that. I think it's good that we do, but let's be very careful. The reason I say this is because we have an eternity. What we do, what we listen to, how we live our lives today is going to depend where our eternity is at. Can I warn you with that this morning? We have an eternity ahead of us. This sounds like a lot of fear. I'm not trying to put fear in your hearts this morning, but I want us to think. Do I have itching ears this morning? Am I wanting to only hear pleasant things? I remember many times when Raymond Barkman, Aidan Troyer, some of you might know those names, maybe you don't. I'd sit under their preaching, and they preached messages that my ears did not like. I sat on the bench, and I was so under conviction, we'd wiggle and we'd squirm when the altar call was given, but we wouldn't move. They preached messages that made us think about our lives, our walks, our eternities. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So here was given Paul some warnings. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He talks here about being sober. That's the opposite of being drunk. You can think. When you're drunk, you can't think. But when you're sober, you can think. Be vigilant. Be alert. Be aware of what's happening around you. One of the things I shared with the congregation at home, I told them it's kind of a common thing in our churches today. I'm talking about the church as a whole, the Christian church, is that we show up for church and we've already got set in our mind what we believe. So we're coming with a wall that we have built. We're not coming with open hearts to hear. And we walk out the back doors and Satan won another battle. Friends, I want to challenge you this morning as you come and go here. Come with hearts that are open, with no walls, but hearts that are willing to receive, to learn, so you can continue to grow. There's a little prayer that I have listed here. A prayer I think that we could all pray as we come together. Lord, quiet my own heart before you and give me the humble spirit of listening. Whenever I come before you, including this morning, may it be with my guard completely down, head bowed, ready and willing to hear what you speak to my heart today. I'd like for you to turn to Joshua chapter 9, and we're going to look about this moldy bread that I talked about. Joshua chapter 9. We have the story here of Joshua. Moses is gone. Joshua is now in charge. They had just come through a couple of wars here. They fought against Jericho, and God helped them to win there. They fought against Ai, and God helped them to win there. And after all this happened, the first part of chapter 9, we see the different kings here that were getting together. They said, let's get together. Let's make a force and fight against Joshua. Together, maybe we can whoop him. But there was a little city named Gibeon. They decided they're not going to be with them. Instead, they were going to come up with a plan on their own. Let's go to verse 3. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and Ai, they did work wilily. They were crafty about what they did. I don't know if they put together some meetings or what. Maybe they had some of the men get together like you're doing on Wednesday night. What are we going to do about this? We need to come up with a plan. So they got together, they worked wild, and they went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their donkeys, wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, they were patched, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. So they got this plan together, we're going to go in to Joshua here. We're going to make it look like we came from a far country. Let's back up a little bit. If we go back to Ezekiel, we're not going to do that this morning, but if we go back to Ezekiel, we say where they had been given a command. One of the laws was that they could not make a treaty with a local person. Because if they made a treaty with a local person, there's a possibility that they would worship their gods instead. So now we have Gibeon coming to them. Let's go to verse 6. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal and said unto him, to Joshua, and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. Make a treaty with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell amongst us. Or if we want to understand that in our language, what if you live close by to us? How shall we make a league with you? Because they knew the law. And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. They really kind of ignored the question, didn't they? They didn't give him a straight answer. They said, we are your servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye? And from whence come ye? Again, they answered him in verse 9, and they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come. Why? Because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. And I believe they did hear that, but I think there might have been just a bit of flattery mixed into here. You guys have been doing so good. We heard about your God. So we came from a long distance. Would you make a treaty with us? Verse 10, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon and to Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take, and I pronounced this word victuals last time, and I was told I'm wrong, so I researched it. It's victuals. So you research that sometime. Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants. Therefore now make ye a league with us. So they had planned ahead to lie, to be deceitful. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth unto you. But now behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we fill were new. And behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. So they painted a beautiful picture here. We've come from a long ways. Wouldn't you please make a league with us? Verse 14 is so sad. Yeah, I know, I'm an emotional person, but when I read verse 14, I just wanted to cry. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And I had to think, how many times today am I going through struggles and trials and deceptions because this is what I'm doing? I'm looking on the outward. I'm looking at what it looks like, but there's something that I'm missing. I'm not going back to the Father. I'm not seeking counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Verse 15, and Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And if we were to follow on a little further in the book of Joshua, here we find out where this came back to bite them. Joshua and his men made a decision according to their own intuition. And may I suggest this morning that we think things through and we seek the heart of God. Every decision we make makes a difference in our walk with God. We may think the decisions are tiny, they're small. Got a lot of small children here this morning. Dads, moms, the decisions that you're making with your children are going to affect them for life. Seek the heart of God. See how He wants you to train and to teach. Joshua and his men chose to act upon what they could see. The story is told of a dad and his son. The dad says, son, let's go down to the neighbor. He has a watermelon patch. I'd like to take a watermelon home. They didn't have money. So they snuck down through the cornfield. And as they snuck down through the cornfield, the dad walks out to the edge of the cornfield and he looks to the left and to the right. To the left and to the right. See if anybody's watching. And a quiet voice by his son said, Dad, says, you forgot to look up. He was making decisions according to his own intuition. They made a decision according to some moldy bread. What is the moldy bread that I'm using to make decisions with today? Or am I seeking the face of the Father? There's a deception that's happening today I think we need to talk about for a bit. Maybe you haven't seen this here in your congregation, but as I look out across the churches of America, I would love to say that it's only out there, but it's not. It's coming into our churches. But it's this whole idea that I am so close to God that I no longer need His Word. I'm so close to God that it's just me and the Holy Spirit. I can close the Bible now because I have God and the Holy Spirit, and that's all I need. Friends, we need the Bible. We need the Word of God and the Holy Spirit together because they work together. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you and it's not echoed in the Word of God, it's not of God. Take that to heart this morning. It's leading many of us down the wrong direction, the wrong path, and it's going to end in a dead-end road where we're lost for eternity. That's my plea this morning. Seek God. Jeremiah 29:12 says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Many times we come to God half-heartedly. We don't want to go all the way. We just want part of it. God, I'll give you a little bit of it. I told my family last night that God's not satisfied with just part of our life. He wants everything. There's a song I believe maybe Nelson Koblenz or one of the gospel, either the Gospel Echoes or Gospel Express sang, that talked about keeping a room separate in our heart. A room that I don't want others to see. No, we need to open up totally. Allow God to take everything. Giving Him every ounce of our energy to honor and glorify Him. I had to think about the Samaritan woman at the well. We're not going to turn there this morning. But they were in discussion a little bit about where you should worship. Then Jesus told her in John 4, He said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And I was really struck by that word seeketh. He's seeking for those who want to worship him. He's looking for you and he's looking for me. Am I one of those that's going to worship him in spirit and in truth? God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." There's a connection that we have with his spirit. Do I sense that connection? When I'm in Christ, there's a fellowship that we have with him. I was reading here a while back about one of the reasons that we have so many believers that seem like they don't connect. It's because we're coming to our prayer time, if we do have a prayer time. But we're coming to our prayer time where we're spending just a little bit of time with the Lord on our knees. We do all the talking. It's just a short little time, so I've gotten it done. When God's wanting to do a work in our heart and we're not willing to give him that time. Share just a little bit of my personal walk. I get up early because of work at the factory. But mornings is my time. Mornings is when my mind is clear, when I can think. Some of you, it's evenings. See an amen up here. I get up early in the morning, so I have time after I get my lunchbox all together. My wife and I have an agreement. She stays in bed. We started this way back when we had children. Vonda gets up at night, takes care of the kids. I get up and go to work. And we just allowed that to stay where it's at. She meets me at the door when I come home. But I get up early in the morning, and that's when I can fellowship, when I can connect. When I come home from work, I've got all kinds of time, actually, if I want to be honest, that I can go in and I can spend time with the Father again. Do you know how hard that is? Why do you think that's hard? Because the desire is not like it should be. I find it is so beautiful, so precious. When I go in and I spend time with the Father, when I come home in the afternoon, it doesn't have to be long, but there's a connection. There's a connection. I'm trying to remember the pastor that's from San Antonio. Vonda, I love to read his books. What's his name? Max Lucado. Max Lucado said his mother was a woman of prayer. He said, "We can hardly walk through the bedroom. She wants to stop at the corner of her bed because that's where she's met God so many times." Do I have that place where I meet God? Do I have a specific spot where I go, where I get on my knees, and there's communion? There's fellowship. Sometimes he works in our hearts. And he tears us apart a little bit, doesn't he? But he puts us back together. We all like freedom, don't we? Satan would like us to think that give us the idea that freedom is doing what we want to do. Freedom is living my life for myself, seeing how much I can make so I can lay it aside so I can live well. Philippians 4:8, a couple of verses here in Philippians. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received," and I'm going to tag that word "received," "and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." I heard this morning a little bit about doing. We don't set our salvation on doing, because doing is not going to bring us salvation. But because I have been saved, because I love my Father, I'm going to do. Not for myself, but because I love. Read 1 Corinthians 13, it's packed with love. Sometimes we hear ministers say it's all just about love. I know, forget about all this love stuff. We got to go deeper in that. I agree. We do want to go deeper in that. But unless we have that basis of love, we start going deeper, we're going to miss it. Because we can do all of it. But if we don't have that love, we're going to miss it. And I'm sensing that this morning. when I was sitting here listening to the Sunday school teacher and the comments and the one that had the devotional, listening to the comments, that there's love. Continue in that. I know you have difficulties. You're human. We all are. But love. Continue to love each other as a brotherhood. Satan would love to bring in a wedge. You know, last night something happened. I'm not going to tell you what happened. But something happened last night after I was in bed. My wife came in and told me something. And it started stirring within me. I laid in bed and I had to pray and ask God, would you forgive me? Because there was a love that should have been there that was not there. I got up early this morning, went out to study. God spoke into my heart again. He says, you need to seek repentance. You've got to love. Sometimes things happen that go against our grain, don't they? Love. Love covers a multitude of sins. I like this morning for us to look at two ways where we can stay alert in our walk with Christ, where we can stay alert against apostasy, against deception. And this is where I'd like to bring in a little bit more of the positive this morning. We've talked a lot about the negative. We talked about deception for a bit, how he was deceived by the moldy bread. Two ways that may help us to stay alert in our walk with Christ. Well, the first one I like to think about is a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, if somebody were to be able to look into your personal walk, if they were able to talk to the people that you worked with, who would they say you are? If they took your checkbook, if they took your credit card account and they looked at the stubs, who would they say you worship? Do I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, a growing relationship? I love the word vibrant, because that's who we want to be. We want to have a vibrant relationship. But we're not going to have that vibrant relationship unless we come into his presence and we spend much time with him. When I was dating Vonda, she lived 212 miles from my house. That's way too far. But she lived 212 miles from my house. I wanted to get to know her. So I would go for the weekend and I'd stay at her parents' house. And I'd get to know her during that time. Now, we got married. Is that where I stopped getting to know her? I'm still getting to know her. And if God gives us more life together, I'm going to continue to get to know her. There's something about it. The more time that I spend with my wife, I can be out in the shop working. I can be out there toying with something. I can be out in the yard doing my work, whatever it is. If she comes out and is in my presence, I'm happy. She doesn't have to do a thing. But as long as she's in my presence, I'm happy. I'm happy without that too, but there's a blessing in that. Same way with Jesus, getting to know him. If we really want to get to know him, we spend time in his presence. And we're delighted when he's with us, when we realize that he's always with us. But sometimes we have the feeling that he's moved off, but he hasn't. He's still there. And maybe he's just calling us back in again a little bit. John 8, verse 31. Actually, let's turn there. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31. Just a couple of verses here. So then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. He was having a conversation with different people here, and there were some Jews that believed on him. He said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Real freedom. Friends, this morning, truth or freedom is not letting go of everything that I've learned growing up. Maybe there are some things we need to let go of. I believe there are. But true freedom is knowing the truth. Jesus told Thomas in John 14, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the truth. Getting to know the truth and finding freedom in that. Job said, In Job chapter 23, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. And listen to this last part here. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Is his word so precious to me that it's better than food? I love to eat, and I'm sure you do too. But is his word more precious to us than our daily sustenance? We read this morning about how Jesus fasted for 40 days. Is his word that precious to me? I've never fasted for 40 days, and I probably never will. Fasting is hard. It really is. It works against us. I had a brother in church tell me here a while back. He said, we were facing some issues in life. And he said, my wife and I decided we're going to fast. And it wasn't just a short fast. It was a long fast. Well, we decided we're going to fast. And they fasted. And he started telling me how God started answering their prayers. In a way that we were probably saying, it's not possible. It is possible. It is possible. God wants to know us in a personal way. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. And here's a phrase I never caught. Deceiving your own selves. Let me read that again. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We have so many today that are saying that we don't need to do. All we need to do is give our hearts to the Lord. Accept Him as our Savior. Say that prayer at the end of a service, at a concert or wherever, and we're good. Here He says we are to be doers of the word, not hearers only. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And I have to think about the Bereans. They searched out the scriptures. And may I challenge you this morning, I don't think Delbert, and I think you're a pastor also, right? May I challenge you this morning, your pastors are okay if you go back and you check up on them. I'm okay this morning if you go back, if you listen to this message again, and you check up on what I've said. The Bereans did. You know what it says about them? Many of them became believers. Because what was preached was the word of God. It was truth. They had something to stand on. Let's move on. Jeremiah 29:14 says, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. Talking here about knowing God, about the relationship with Christ. Overcoming deception. The only way it's going to happen is if we stay connected, we stay close. The second one that I'd like to look at really quick here is that we need to seek counsel within the body of Christ. That's hard to do. Let's be very honest. It's hard for me to open myself to the body of Christ. It's hard for me to go to my brother and tell him, you know what, I'm struggling with this. There's something within me that I need help on. But we need to seek counsel within the body of Christ. Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks a lot about the gifts. And he also talks about the different parts working together. You talked about fingers being missing this morning. If I'm a finger and you're an arm, and we decide we're not going to work together, things aren't going to happen. We need each other. We work together. Why? 1 Corinthians 12:25 and 26 tell us why we work together, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Helping each other in our spiritual walk. I don't know if I'm going to do this morning or not, but I'm going to. I need four volunteers this morning, some of you men, to come up here with me. It's not scary. I'm not going to hurt anybody, I don't think. If you want to come up here, four of you, please. That's three. That's four. Okay. I want us to think about working together as a body this morning. These guys are a body. I'd like for you to link your arms together. Now, can you imagine these four as a body? They're walking together. Can you walk back and forth here? Turn sideways. There you go. You can turn around. Just keep going. Takes a little bit here. But we got these four. They're walking together. Look how they're in unity and they're working together. They're going to get somewhere. They have a little bit of problem on the ends here, but they're going to get somewhere. So now if I take my Bible, let's take this glass of water at least, or let's talk about this glass of water for a minute. I take that and I put it out here on the floor. Let's see what happens when we have one guy coming through and that bottle's in the way. You with the socks on. He's not going to want to hit that bottle, is he? So now we have a brother here. He goes and he stops them the next time they go through. He sees what's in the way and he's going to reach out. I know you can't see the bottle, most of you, but he's going to reach out and grab that bottle out of the way. And he's going to warn him, there was a bottle there. Let's be careful. Let's work together. We're a body. We're working together. We're headed for the same thing. When there's a stumbling block, guess what it says here? He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Now, he didn't fall yet. We're preventing this before he has opportunity to fall. His socks get all wet. Now, let's go a step further. I want you to pull out and turn around. Same thing, hook in here. I'll take this bottle of water. Now again, we have them traveling together as a body. But we have one in here that doesn't want to go with them. He's going to fight. He's going to go the other direction. He's trying. What are we doing as a body? Now we can continue to drag him, or we can stop like this verse says. He's headed the wrong direction. They're headed towards Christ. They're headed towards the goal. He was. We call that apostasy. He's going his own way. So now we have these three brothers huddled together a bit. We have these three brothers. They're going to talk to him. They're going to take him. They're going to talk to him. They're going to try to convince him, turn around. You're going the wrong way. And I want to ask you, is it hard for you when you're living in sin and another brother sees it and comes and talks to you? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard for us to accept the fact that I'm going the wrong way. But it's also hard for these three brothers here to come to this brother and tell him, listen, you need to turn around. You're going the wrong way. Satan would like us to have the idea, but if I go and I say something to him, he's going to get upset at me. I might lose a friend. But friends, we're going to lose a friend if we don't do something about it. Thank you. You guys can go sit down. I need you and you need me. We need each other. What if nobody does something about our brother who's going the wrong way? It's for eternity. I want to share a story with you this morning. Pastor Robert Moore shared this story. I get emotional. It's okay. Pastor Morris needed a new vehicle. So he went online and he started looking a little bit. And he found a vehicle that he liked. So he called the dealer up and he made an appointment. I'm going to come see the car. So he goes out and he looks at the car. He likes the car. And he made a deal and he bought it. And he went home. Things went really good with the car. 2 weeks later, he called up the dealer and he said, "I just want to tell you, I have really enjoyed working with you. It's a good car. You were professional. It was a good vehicle, and I thank you for that." The dealer said, "You know, I don't get calls like this." Well, he said, "I just did it because I want to thank you." They hung up. A couple weeks later, the pastor called him again. He said, "Hey, I'm in the area. Would you go out for lunch with me?" The dealer said, "Yeah, I guess." So they had lunch. A few weeks down the road, he did it again. "How about lunch again?" "Sure, I have lunch." And they started becoming friends. 3 months down the road, as they were sitting at lunch, all of a sudden the dealer looked over at the pastor and says, "What do you do? What's your occupation?" Well, the pastor said, "I'm a pastor." The car salesman sat up straight and backed up a little bit. Then he said, "You know, years ago when I was a young boy, I attended a church." He said, "Actually, I went to church with a pastor's kid. He invited me." He said, "I loved going to church. I was learning stuff as a young boy. But," he said, "we did something really stupid." He said, "One day the pastor's kid and I went into one of the classrooms and we destroyed it." He said, "One Sunday the pastor called me up front. And he said, 'Young boy,'" he told the congregation what happened. He said, "Young boy, you destroyed a classroom. You're a bad boy." He said, "I want you to leave and never come back." And the dealer said, "I did. I left and I never did go back." Pastor Robert Morris told this dealer, he said, "I want you to know there's bad car dealers and there's good car dealers. There's bad pastors, there's good pastors." He said, "That was a bad pastor." He says, "Please don't take that personally. God doesn't look at you like that." And he gave him hope. The car dealer looked at the pastor and he says, "Pastor, can I come to your church?" He says, "You sure can." He came and the next Sunday he gave his heart to the Lord. Friends, that's where we're at today. That's what we need to do. We have truth, don't we? We know what the truth is. I heard it this morning. We know truth. What am I going to do when I go out those doors today? Am I going to leave the truth right here? Am I going to take it into my workplace and I'm going to share the truth with those around us? There's a whole lot of hurting people out there, friends. They need to know the truth. This little congregation here, I guess it's about half of them, but this little congregation can continue to be an impact. I was told just a bit this morning about how you acquired this building. Praise the Lord. God has a purpose for you here in Topeka, to make his name known. Let's take the truth with us. And if there's something that's within our heart that's keeping us from that, we have an altar right here. We have an altar at home. Let's come to the Father, give it to him. Scripture talks a lot about lifting holy hands in prayer. I was at a service one time. I'm over time. I was at a service one time where the pastor asked, "Would you lift your hands in prayer this morning and in worship?" There were many that didn't. And then the pastor told us, "You know, if you can't lift your hands this morning, I'd like you to come up here. Let's get clean hands so we can lift our hands to the Father." And my encouragement to you this morning is to know the truth and to share the truth. We don't want to be part of the group that's deceived. Time is short. Let's stay in the Word. Let's talk to the Father. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and continue to work within us. And then let's go and share his truth. I'd like to share 4 verses in closing. These are some of my favorite verses right now. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 8 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. All thy ways. And he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. God bless you here this morning. I've really enjoyed being here, sensing the Holy Spirit working amongst you. It's a challenge for me. Would you stand with me as we pray this morning? Father God, this morning I thank you. I thank you so much, Lord, that you didn't give up on us. Lord, I think we've probably all been to places where we wish we'd have never gone. We've got things in our past that we're not proud of. But Lord, you've led us to the truth. You helped us to see what it is to walk in victory with you. Lord, I bless you for that. And I thank you when you left that you didn't leave us alone, but you sent your Holy Spirit to be with us. And then you gave us a promise that you're preparing a place for us and you're going to come get us. Oh, Father, we look forward to that time. I pray that you would continue to speak into our hearts this morning. Draw us close to you. May we go. May we share your truth, your love with those around us. Bless this congregation. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll turn it back to you.